Time now for KRWG StoryCorps. I'm Edmundo Resendez. When StoryCorps visited Mesilla and El Paso in February, StoryCorps recorded conversations between loved ones from our communities. Each Wednesday morning at 8:49 and at 5:48 in the afternoon, we will bring you these stories. Today, we meet Sylvia J. Camuñez and Irene Oliver Lewis as they talk about their parents, Cecilia and Federico, and their legacy.
Mother made the best tacos in the world. Everybody would say, Cecilia, ¿por qué no me haces más tacos?
Taquitos.
Taquitos. Why don't you make me more taquitos? And so Mother, she was known for her tacos. And you now have carried on her cooking habits and her cooking talents. And did you watch Mother when she was younger? How did you learn to
cook? I always watch Mother cook because I did not like onions. And so I wanted to make sure that she did not put any onions in any of the foods. So I sat there and watched her cook.
I didn't know that.
So I saw how she made her taquito mixture, how she made her chili, how she made her bizcochos, how she did all that. And I never really learned to do it till later years in life because she wanted to do all the cooking. She wouldn't let any of us cook.
So you learned like you do in the old ways. You learned by watching the masters.
Mm-hmm.
You were her apprentice and you didn't know it. And then I think what's so wonderful now, Sylvia, is that as she got older and when she couldn't really cook, and dinner time was so important and meals time was so important in our families. It's where anything of importance ever happened in the house. In my play that I wrote about them, you know, I have that story on the sartén, and I say Mother used to orchestrate our meals like a great conductor of a symphony. And then she would use her pots and pans and stuff like that. But you do that now, and you're not even aware of it. And that joy and that finesse that you have with food. I always say that, Mom, you know, good cooks give love. They put their love into it, and that's what you seem to have gotten from Mom.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Because you cook for me now. You're the one that's the cook of the family. Hey, but now tell me how you're passing on the bizcochos, which are sugar cookies. They're a Mexican sugar cookie for those people who may not know what bizcochos are.
Every Christmas, my mother and dad made bizcochos, and my mother had a certain way of making them, and she never wanted me around. She never wanted anybody around while she was making her batter because she said we'd give it ojo, which would give it the evil eye. And so she says, especially Sylvia, because she has such a strong eye. So she says, don't let her in here. But I would go in, I'd sneak in there and I'd look at her and see how she'd do it. So I learned how she did it by watching her. So about 3 Christmases ago, my mother used to make bizcochos, her and my dad, and they'd make bags and bags and bags of bizcochos and had them set out on the dining room table for anybody who would come in. They'd take a little package with them. This was their Christmas gift. So we were talking about bizcochos, my older sister and I, and she says, oh, I don't make them now. They're too hard to make. I says, I know, but somebody's got to learn it. Let's teach your kids. And my sister has 4 boys, and one of them likes to cook. So he said he'd come over and do it. So he came over, and I showed him how to whip the lard and how to do the sugar. And because you do it by hand. You don't do it with a mixer. So we made our bizcochos, him and I, and they turned out almost as good as my mother's. Not bad at all.
But I might have to add that the new tradition that we have added on with our nephews and Stevie, who you're teaching, is that we have to have our mimosas, right?
Right, right. He does not like to cook without his mimosas. So naturally, we were going to make bizcochos this Christmas, and we already had a date set up and had everybody and invited all these people. And then I says, oh, we can't have all these people here. Mother says they'll make ojo. So we had mimosas. We went to the bistro and got champagne and our little orange juice and our orange liqueur and had mimosas instead.
Right. And we still have to make this year's bizcochos. What do you think that you learned the most from mom and from dad? When you think about them, what trait or what? Of course, we talked about the cooking with mother, but what trait of them? Because those are so. They're not tangible things, but what do you think each one of them left you?
Mother was a very strong-willed person, and I think we learned that from her. Her strength is just, you just can't, her strength was just so powerful. And I think we learned that to be strong women, which is really unusual in the Hispanic culture.
Well, you have to remember that mom, she was an extremely strong-willed woman, and here she was. She had four children, and in the mid 1940s, and she was divorced. Her husband basically left her with her kids to raise, and she just knew that she had to raise those kids. So she went out and worked, and she was a waitress. She was one of the first waitresses at La Posta in 1936, and she just had an incredible will. If you remember in the story that I wrote about her, she says when she was learning how to make tortillas, and she told Uncle Henry, "I'm going to learn to make, teach me to make my tortillas because I have no idea." This is even before she was married. She says, "I have no idea if he's not going to bring me any bread, I got to have my own bread and I have to have tortillas to make for my kids." So from a very, very, very young age, she was a woman's liber before she even knew there was such a word. And the strength of both mom and really all her sisters and Nengo, our grandmother, you're very right. It was a matriarchal environment that we grew up in. And then as she got older, if you remember, she would get so mad at us. She says, "Ay, yo no sé por qué hacen, por qué piensan así. I don't know why you act like that or why you think like that." And I would tell her, "Well, you taught us. You're the one that taught us how to be independent and strong and be able to live on our own." And I think about her all the time. You know, here I am, La Niña, I'm going to cry. But when things come up, you know, because it's that little advice that they give you that nobody else can give you. And here we were, she was 90 years old. And
91.
91. And I would come home and I'd say, and I have to handle so many things in life and so many decisions in my work and in creating all these things. And she would just look at me and she would just hug me and I would just sit there and I would become La Niña, a three-year-old again. And I don't know why that strength of her would seep into my pores and she wouldn't even give me some specific advice. It was just the presence of her.
Her hugging you, her children were very important to her. They were her thing of living, and she learned that at a young age. When she had her first child and then her second, she was a very nurturing mother, very nurturing. And mom and dad were door-to-door salespeople, and mother never left the house without having food for her children. She wouldn't leave the house till she gave us all lunch. We'd all walk from school to have lunch at home. And at the evening, she'd make dinner and always had a dessert for us or something for us to eat when we got home from school.
Sylvia J. Camunez and Irene Oliver Lewis, from a conversation recorded in Mesilla. You can hear this story and other local StoryCorps interviews online at krwg.org in the radio tab under StoryCorps. For KRWG, I'm Edmundo Resendez.